Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. Now, did Paul go to the seminary to become an apostle? How did Paul become an apostle? He had an experience with God, didn't he? Well, he thought he was serving God, didn't he? He was on the way to Damascus to wipe out Christians, wasn't he? He was going over there to kill Christians when God had a plan. Now see, if God calls you to do something for him, he has a way to call you out. I mean, Paul, of course, he knew Paul was going to be a little bit hard-headed. He was a man, and so it was real simple. Paul's on the way to Damascus with orders to kill Christians. When Paul just struck him down, when the Lord struck Paul down with blindness and put him and spoke to him audibly, and Paul saw this bright light. Now, everybody's with him heard the voice, and they saw the light, but they didn't see anybody, but they heard the voice. They didn't understand what was going on. Don't you know that scared the socks off of them boys? Don't you know them great big old bruising soldiers were down on their knees crying out, what is this? You know, God's not intimidated by nothing, is he? Nothing scares the king. He is in total control. But he was called of God. He said, I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. And this is from our brother Timothy. It is written to God's holy people in the city of Colossae who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. Now, although this letter is written here, later on he says, you know, you should read this whole letter and then send it over to Laodicea and let those people read it too. Well, technically speaking, when Paul writes one of these letters, it's to the church. It wasn't just to the people at Colossae, it's to the church. So this is for you and me too today. Same way, verse 3 and 4. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, I will have to say, we don't do a very good job of always praying for people. I know sometimes I go for days and don't pray for somebody unless something serious happens in their life. And then I'm on God's shirt tail for those people. I mean, it's amazing how we just kind of get out of the habit. You know, in fact, I have a man I just want to tell y'all, and I want every one of you to... In fact, we might just stop and pray for him in just a minute. But there's a man that's come to a healing school. He's supposed to have been dead last year. This man is supposed to have been dead last year. And he came to the ORU. He come from Canada to ORU to see if he could get healed. He knew that was a school that teaches healing. Well, the doctor said he can't live but another month. It's over. And so he's seeking God. And he heard that ORU has people. So he walked up in the prayer tower, and there was a man up there. And when he talked to this man and told him, he said, well, can you pray for me for healing? He told him what was wrong. And he said, yes, I'll pray for you, but I know a man you need to go see. Now, this guy's in the prayer tower of ORU. He said, well, who is this? He said, it's Pastor Thurman Scrivener in Justin, Texas. You need to go see him. So the man came down here to a healing school. He came, called me, and asked me what I had these. And he came here to a healing school, and he has been from Canada every month for the last 6 or 8 months. They have bought tickets, and they've came to every healing school, but today he's in pretty bad shape. He wrote me and said, I can't come this month. I can't make it. He said, I'm in such pain, and I'm in such... Well, Dave and I talked about this morning. I prayed last night. Oh, I prayed last night. I don't know how long I prayed last night, but when I woke up this morning, I'm praying for that guy. I lay there for at least 2 hours, and I prayed. Then I come to my office, and I spent nearly the whole time praying for this guy. I did very little study, but I did some. I read Colossians and a few other places several times, but still, I didn't do the studying I normally do on Sunday morning to teach the service. I prayed for this man. And my prayer is like this, Lord, who sinned? Why is he so sick? Lord, please reveal to me why he's so sick. I know there's a sin. I don't know what it is, but I need you to tell me what it is. I said, Lord, I've been through with this man for the last 6 or 8 months, everything I can think of that is sin. And he tells me he's repented of all of them. But I said, Lord, he's getting worse instead of better. So anytime a man gets worse instead of better, the sin that brought it on is still there. And he's still actively engaged in it, whatever it is, or he would be getting better. See, so that's my prayer. So Dave walked in a while ago, and I said, Dave, I've been praying for this man. I said, what do you think? And he told me what he thought. I thought, that had already hit me. So when what he said and what I've been thinking, that's confirmation. That's his sin. Isn't that something? And so now then I've got to get in touch with him or go up there. I may just go up there this week. You know, I may just go up there and sit there and talk with him. You know, he lives just across the Canadian border, just a two-hour drive north of Detroit. And so I may just go up there and spend a day or whatever it takes with this man to tell him what I believe is his sin. And then if he'll repent, and I'm sure he will, you know, because he wants to live. And so, but I've seen this many times, haven't we? We find somebody that we pray over there and get them to repent of their sins, and they get healed. And so, anyway, that's what I believe I'm going to do for this man. So, but it says, we always pray for you. Now, you know, many times we do not pray for one another, do we? We don't do a good job of that, do we, Ida? You know, we need to do a better job of praying for one another. Paul says he always prays for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard that you trust in Christ Jesus and that you love all of God's people. Well, I love it when people love God's people because we have a great relationship here when we can do this. Verse 5 and 6. If you do this because you're looking forward to the joys of heaven as you have been ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Now this, some of us been in church all of our life, and the only part of the good news we've ever heard is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we received that. And we didn't know anything else was available to us. That's where I was. You know, I lived many years of my life thinking that all there was to church was accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and then just going about and being a pretty decent person. I had no idea that I could do the things I could do in the name of Jesus. I just didn't know those things. It says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere. Now then, if the good news you're preaching is not changing people's life, there's something wrong with the good news you're preaching. Because back in those days, 2,000 years ago, this good news was changing people. It was making them become different people. You say, well, we're here in church and they come down and say, well, I've decided I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need fire insurance. You know, that's what we're thinking. I need fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. Okay, so you pray for them, and then the next Sunday you preach, well, you know, salvation is forever. You know, you can, God is merciful. His grace is okay. You can, once saved, always saved. You know, if you get off on doing something bad, you can just live like that. But, you know, if you die, you know, you still get to go to heaven. Well, now, I ain't found that in the Bible yet. Hadn't found that. I mean, I heard that a lot, you know, when I was younger, and I believed that because it came from the pulpit. But when I started reading the Bible for myself, I ain't never found that. That is not in the Bible, that you can live like you want to and go to heaven. When you get off the narrow track, you're on your way to hell. That's all there is to it. You don't want to get off of that narrow track. I guarantee you want to stay on that narrow path because that's what the Word teaches. Somebody says, you believe in once saved, always saved? Absolutely, I believe once saved, always saved, as long as you stay on that straight and narrow track. You know, as long as you stay on that, you're okay. God is okay. But now if you say, oh, well, I've been here 5 years now. I've been serving God for 5 years. I'm going to step off over here. I'm going to run around on my wife. I'm going to start committing adultery. I'm going to start being mean to my other brother. I'm going to start going out drinking and all this kind of stuff. Because I'm saved, I can live like the devil and go to heaven if I want to. Let me tell you, it ain't going to happen. You know, if it does, you know what the first thing going to happen when you get off that track? God's going to talk to you. He's going to send somebody to you and say, look, you got off the track. You get back on the track. And no, I'm okay. You know, I'm once saved, always saved. And then he'll send somebody else. And then he'll send somebody else. And months go by. And you keep getting further and further away from that track. And then one day God begins to scare your pants off with dreams and visions. You think it's coming from the devil. But them dreams are coming from God. He's in control of everything. He says in His Word, those are from Him. And He said, I terrify you in the night with dreams and visions. He said, He does that. And then He said, if you don't listen to me in those dreams and visions, then I'm going to send pain and suffering deep in your bones. I'm going to chastise you or judge you with sickness and disease. God said He's going to do that. I mean, you know, a few years ago, if you said, do you believe God put sickness on you? I'd have said, absolutely not. That comes from the devil. You know, no, I don't believe sickness comes from God. But that's before I really read the book. When I read the book in detail, I found out, hey, God's in control of everything, including the devil. You know, the devil's not in control. God's in control. And there ain't but one on this earth you've got to make happy. You know who that is? God. That's right. You make God happy, what'll He do for you if you make Him happy? Hey, there ain't nothing impossible when you make the King happy, right, Eldon? Praise the Lord. So, I mean, hey, He does judge us. But He says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's changing lives everywhere. Just as it changed yours the very first day you heard it and understood the truth about God's kindness and to sinners. I mean, we were a sinner and He was going to save us out of our sin. Because when we were sinners, we didn't know. We had no idea when we were dead in our sins that right over there is a multi-thousand drop straight down and fires raging down there and we're rushing to fall in that hole. We had no knowledge of that, did we? If we had have known we were headed to hell as a lost person, we'd have got saved. I mean, you know, but we didn't know it. And of course, today Christians are supposed to know this. That's why they're supposed to be out there telling their loved ones. That's just like that daddy up there in Bergen, the man that got healed to his knees after he got healed. Hey, he's seen Jesus as a healer for the first time in his life. Now he's got two daughters that are sick and afflicted, and he's going to bring them there. He said, now I know one of my daughters that's got the heart problem and everything, she ain't going to want to come, but he said, I'm going to bring her. He said, I'm bigger than she is. I'm going to bring her. Well, hey, he brought her. She got saved and healed. Isn't that wonderful? Now, somebody said, you know, daddy shouldn't be so forceful to his daughter. Hey, he realized that that girl's headed to hell. Would you rather be a little forceful to your daughter to bring her down and get her saved and healed than to let her go her way and fall off of that cliff someday and drop into hell forever? Yeah, and he knew that.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, For This Is the Secret, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.